Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Bike Radar podcast, brought to you by the team behind BikeRadar.com, Cycling Plus, and MBUK magazines. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe. And if you can do so, leave us a rating on your podcast provider of choice. It really helps us reach other cyclists like you.
Hello and welcome to the Bike Radar podcast. I'm Jack Luke, and today I'm joined by wonderful colleague, esteemed friend, just all-round good guy, ray of sunshine, Tom Marvin. And today we're going to be giving you a double header of big, big, big news in the mountain bike world. That is, of course, the release of the new Specialized Epic and Epic Evo, and the news very much tied to this launch of SRAM's newest generation of flight attendant, Tom yes. Marvin. You attended these launches.
Yeah.
You were out there pestering the great and good of SRAM and Specialized. What do we have in store today from that launch?
Well, first up, we are going to be hearing from Brian Gordon, who is basically the head of everything XC at Specialized. So I think he basically said Stumpy Down. So yeah, in charge of basically the whole Epic family, which is now quite expansive, mm-hmm. including this new one, which actually, as of a little pre-press release last week, is the Epic 8, to signify that it is the 8th generation Epic.
Wow.
That is now the official name. So yeah, I managed to speak to Brian out on the trip and rode with him a little bit over a couple of days.
Was he fast?
Oh boy. I mean, I say that, I presume he was fast because there was absolutely no way I was keeping up with him either up nor down from the start of the track. So he could have slowed down, who knows? He's certainly faster than me. you know, if you ever see a picture of you, you'll notice as well his proper XC physique.
Okay.
And then we also, I managed to talk to Chris Mandel from SRAM, who is a bigwig in the world of SRAM marketing, but obviously knows everything that you need to know about flight attendant.
Yes.
Which is, of course, interesting.
Like a cheese toasty, I will, of course, be giving Tom a light grilling on all of the juicy tech. I want to hear your thoughts on the bike and, of course, the new flight attendant tech. But without hanging around any longer, we're going to go straight into our chat with Brian Gordon now.
So I'm here in Matanzas in Chile on the launch of the new Specialized Epic and Epic Evo with Brian Gordon, who is the product design, product lead on sort of everything XC at Specialized. Is roughly correct, right?
Yep, that's correct.
There or thereabouts.
Yeah, everything under Stump Jumper in terms of travel on all the full suspension bikes and chisel and the other things as well.
Everything XC, which is kind of what you ride normally, right?
Yeah, I would say that's my go-to, but I like to jump on the BMX bike, hit up a road group ride here and there, and I've also got an Enduro.
Okay. We saw you hitting a pretty big jump at the end of today on a short travel bike. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I like to have fun.
A bit of everything. Wicked. So, yeah, as mentioned, so Specialized have relaunched or refreshed the Epic, which is the XC race bike. And there is, of course, an Evo model, which we've seen over the past couple of generations, which takes the Epic and kind of gives it a little bit more burliness. So, yeah, we just wanted to talk about the bike and the Epic name, because it's quite an expansive sort of brand of bikes now. And there's a few changes along the way over the past couple of years that are sort of quite interesting.
Yeah, so the Epic has kind of come to represent all of our cross-country race product line, and then now blurring that a little bit with the Epic Evo side of things. But yeah, a lot of riders will see in the line, we've got everything from an Epic Hardtail. Now we have a short travel bike, Epic World Cup, which is really geared towards that hardtail enthusiast that wants the benefits of full suspension, but still values that efficiency of the hardtail. The new Epic has kind of grown in travel a bit from the previous model, looking to be more versatile, kind of the do-it-all cross-country bike, a little bit geared more towards marathon stage racing, where things like comfort and capability, riding a blind track, come into play. And then because that bike has gotten so capable, it's a sweet opportunity to kit it out with an awesome spec package and make a downcountry ripper.
Yeah, wicked. Okay. So as mentioned there, we're going to talk about the Epic and the Epic Evo a little bit more in depth in a minute, but there are now four models which carry the Epic name. The Epic Hardtail is it's the hardtail version of the XC race bike. There was a carbon version of that, which was launched about 4 years ago, but sort of the top end of those hardtail bikes is now, is down to sort of a couple of lower end models.
Yep. So we've kind of taken a stance that we really believe in suspension. If you're serious about going fast off-road in a mountain bike scenario, you need suspension to do that at the top level of the world. So the high-end Epic Hardtail has gone away for now. We still offer it in a comp model, and it's really to offer a very light and very fast package to a rider that's not ready to spend the money to get into an Epic World Cup or an Epic, which is not cheap. But at the high end, those riders that value hardtail performance, we really want to show them the Epic World Cup and show them they can get that hardtail pedaling response. But now they have the benefits when the track gets rough.
Cool. And then so that Epic World Cup that was launched about a year ago now, that's the 75 mil of travel at the back, kind of a very unique suspension system in that there's, you know, no gulp, half gulp, full gulp, 0 to 10% sag. It's pretty, I've just finished a review when we're recording this, actually reviewed it very recently, and it's a full gas, no compromise, true like short course XC race bike.
Yeah, so really geared towards XCO, where you want a fast bike, you're not as concerned with how you're going to feel on day five of a stage race, because your races are typically an hour and a half range, or even if it's short track, 20 minutes plus a couple laps. So that rear shock is unique. You can set it up with zero sag, so it rides topped out, somewhat like a blow-off shock. It's really cool. You get that 75 mils of travel from top out, where if you compare it to a 100 mil travel bike where you're sitting 25 mils into the sag, you kind of have 75 available when you smack into a bump. So this kind of gives you that bump absorption, but then you get that really topped out feel. It feels great on the climbs. It keeps your geometry preserved in that forward position. So making that bike so efficient was a really fun task for the team. And yeah, we believe we've delivered something that's super unique. Our riders, like Laura Stigger, for example, loves the bike. She won't stop riding it. And she's doing great on it, so we love that.
Cool. Well, if you want my take on the bike, obviously you can head to bikerider.com and find the full review there. But obviously what we're really here to talk about is the new Epic and the Epic Evo. So very quickly, maybe talk us through the key points about the new Specialized Epic.
Awesome. So yeah, with Epic World Cup, kind of taking the hardtail performance and then building in some suspension into it, we saw a great opportunity for the Epic to kind of span a little bit wider and grow into a 120 travel bike that's fully capable for anything you're going to throw at it, and you know, a super technical World Cup course like the pros are seeing, or a multi-day race like BC Bike Race, Cape Epic, things like that. You're riding really rugged terrain, it's unmaintained, you don't know what's there, you haven't had a chance to ride 8 stages and scope out all your lines, so you might need a little bit more during that race. So that was kind of the idea for it. And then as we made the bike so capable by doing a few spec changes, like bigger tires, a 130 fork, we have built some Evo models that live within that line. And those are catered more towards the progressive cross country, more down country oriented rider, or a rider looking for a trail bike that's incredibly light. It holds 2 water bottles for those long alpine days. It's a really unique bike that gives you the benefits of pedaling from the Epic race bike, but you know, a 130 fork, riser bars, code brakes, like a little bit more capable spec there to handle that unknown.
So the Epic's, it's 120 front and back. And on the top flight S-Works model, as we kind of expect, you know, it's covered in some pretty Gucci kit. The key one being flight attendant from SRAM, from RockShox.
Yeah. So As we get into the suspension details, you'll see we have some custom tuning, but on the S-Works race bike, we went all in with RockShox. We started working with them early on, knowing that we needed something to kind of deliver on our brand philosophy. We're a brand that doesn't love the idea of flipping levers hundreds of times during a race. Mm-hmm. So we wanted something automated. When we kind of saw this flight attendant system on the trail side, we were wondering, okay, what about cross country? And then we've worked with them really closely and a big partnership. We're launching the bike and the system together. But really, yeah, to fine tune all those details, deliver on what the cross country riders want. And then, yeah, we think it's a great kind of evolution from what Brain was solving to now automating that. And then riders don't have to think about flipping levers all the time. So
for the uninitiated, I guess, the Epic has been synonymous with Brain for a long time, and it's an inertia valve based automatic sort of lock platform system that kind of bumped itself open when you hit a bump. You could adjust the threshold on that, and it kind of meant that there was no lockout levers on the Epics. That fork is still available. It's on the Epic World Cup, but on this one, on the S-Works flight attendant, which is an electronically controlled, there's accelerometers, there's all sorts of whiz-bang stuff in there with little motors that open and close automatically. Suspension, it's a really impressive system. Our listeners will be aware that, Brain is a big thing about Epic. And if you look outside of the S-Works version where flight attendant isn't present, there's also no Brain. So can you sort of talk us through why Brain has sort of disappeared now and what you're replacing it with?
Yeah, so going into this project early on, we knew flight attendant was going to be sweet for the S-Works model, but we knew the price tag was going to be what it was. So the unique thing about Brain is we were able to pull that all the way down to our comp level spec. And that was a great value add to riders at that price point. Mm-hmm. So we dug in super hard on how to still deliver something like that to the riders while giving them all of the benefits of what a three-position system would be. So the Pro, Expert, and Comp level bikes do have a three-position remote suspension system, but we have a very unique middle tune that rides a lot like Brain. Our target for that tune was to compare it to the Brain in the middle fade position. Uh-huh. We got a lot of feedback from riders. The initial feedback was, I love the Brain, but sometimes I want to fully lock it out for a sprint. Or the other rider would say, like in the same meeting, I love the Brain as a lockout, but I want to fully open it for a long downhill. Mm-hmm. So we saw this need for a Brain system that could be toggled and maybe adjusted on the fly, which we wanted to deliver on that. Like we always have the goal to serve riders and give them what they want and even more. So our middle position, it's kind of like the ideal all-around position you could ride 80% of the time. Yeah. And we've done that with using a digressive damping curve.
Okay.
So lots of low-speed compression in the middle position, but a tapered down high-speed compression value. So on a typical middle mode, you have a little bit more low speed, and then that compression keeps climbing as the shaft speeds grow. So you use less stroke, and that's kind of the idea. It's supported, but you lose less stroke. We wanted to even increase the support off the top, but when you smack into a bump, the compression dives off and then the shock is able to move freely and absorb the bump.
Okay.
Similarly to how Brain worked.
Yeah.
The nice thing about the three position is that one, it's a little bit lighter packaging, which is great for cross country riders. It's simpler to service, also great for all riders, I would say. And then with that system, you still have your fully wide open mode with a really plush air spring tune, a really plush damper tune. And then on the flip side, you have the fully locked out mode for the sprint situation or the asphalt climb, whatever you're going to encounter in that race.
So I guess you also don't get the little knock when the Brain opens. Yeah. And I think it's probably worth pointing out that this isn't just like a shim stack that's, been made by RockShox or a little tweaker. There are specific internals to that shock that are unique to this bike.
Yeah, that's correct. We've recently done a ton of investment in our ride dynamics team at Specialized, and we have suspension engineers on staff that are working really closely. We built prototypes of the shock in-house, actually, within Specialized, but partnered with RockShox because we love the Sidlux chassis. It's incredibly light. The air spring tune and base damping tune is great, but we did need to do a few custom parts inside to hit our middle mode targets. The replacement service kit and everything is still the same. You can still get it serviced just like any other Sidlux shock, but we do offer that unique middle.
Yeah. Too. Okay. And looking at the Evo slightly more, the specs are, if you look at it, you would think like it's got a spec list from quite a longer travel bike. We're talking SRAM Code brakes on there, which are like big burly things. You've got, is it a Purgatory on the front and a ground control tire on the back? Broad rims, you've got dropper posts, you've got your swap box in there so you can put all your bits and pieces. but it's still actually a 120, 130 mil bike. It's pretty rad.
Yeah, so with pushing these cross-country bikes to the next level, giving our cross-country factory race team what they want on the downhill performance, giving our Cape Epic winners what they want for those eight-day stage races, the geometry, the reach, the bottom bracket height, the travel, all of those things naturally progressed in that direction. And so it was a great opportunity to use the same chassis and deliver on this progressive downcountry rider's dream bike, basically. So we have an incredibly light chassis that has, you know, race day like pedaling efficiency, but with the 130 fork, the head tube angles going out to 65.4, the code brakes give you all the stopping power you need. The T9 purgatory front tire, as you rode today, is pretty grippy, even on that sandy terrain we rode. And yeah, the bike's incredibly capable. It's impressive to see how we were able to stretch the bike. And, you know, it's a World Cup ready race bike. And at the same time, we're hitting some steep skidders out here. So
yeah. And there's going to be two models of the Evo, and they're both Fox suspension on this.
That's correct. Yeah, we're using Fox 34 forks on the front and then the float shock in the rear. It's a 190 by 45 shock with a custom tune from our ride dynamics team. No custom parts in there, but definitely custom tuned for our bike and our kinematics. And yeah, comp model, pro model. So yeah, covering some bases.
Great stuff. I mean, it's been great coming out and riding the bikes. We really enjoyed it. Hopefully be getting a bike back in the UK for some sort of slightly colder, wetter, muddier testing before the embargo opens. But yeah, thanks ever so much for giving us some minutes of your time and talking us through the new Epic range.
Thanks, it's been a pleasure.
Great.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Excellent stuff. Always nice to hear from the people who are actually involved in developing the product. Tom, what I really care about, though, what's it like to ride? What is the Epic Evo like to, or sorry, the Epic and the Epic Evo like to ride? Do you regret the departure of Brain, a long-standing piece of tech and specialised sort of lineup? And finally, this is a good one for you, how does it compare to the Epic World Cup? You can answer those questions in any order you wish.
So up until Epic 8, the whole point of Epic was the Brain. Now, if you don't know what the Brain is, it was a spring-loaded inertia valve that when the fork and the rear wheel hit a bump...
Or the rear wheel.
So there's a brain for the front and the back.
Oh, sorry.
Brain in the fork, brain on mounted to the shock. It was like a little cartridge that was, generally speaking, mounted around the rear axle. Hit a bump, the little, I think it was a brass weight, I think just like bumped out the way, opened up the compression damping circuit and allowed the shock to move. If the bump wasn't big enough to move it, then it was effectively like a hardtail and you could adjust how strong that spring was. So the whole point of it was that you would have a lockout when you needed it locked out and it would be open when you needed it to be open and you didn't have to faff around with levers on your handlebars. It was definitely the Epic's USP, I always thought, along with, you know, it being like a very good XC race bike. It was kind of the USP was a brain and it was a little bit Marmite. Some people loved it, some people didn't like it, but over the years they refined it to the point where the previous generation Epic, so I guess Epic 7, with its brain, I thought it was pretty good. Like, I've always been a bit of a fan of it because I like bikes that are easy to ride. By the same sort of extension, it's kind of why I like SRAM's Access wireless drivetrains. It's why I liked, you know, like powerful brakes that are light on the thing. Anything that takes away the thought process of riding allows you to ride faster, better, without having to think about it too much.
I rode a brain-equipped Epic Hardtail. Was it called? Yeah, it was the Epic Hardtail once in a really good race.
Ah.
And it was pretty impressive. So that would have been like 2019, I guess. Yeah, about 2019. And it was very good. Very neat piece of tech, just from a purely like design and engineering perspective. It's the opposite of passive, but kind of passive tech, quite simple, I dare say.
Yeah.
But I could see why some people wouldn't like it. I always remember it was Joe Norledge I borrowed the bike off of, and he was far more tuned to suspension tech than me. And he kind of commented that it was noticeable.
Yep.
But for a punter like me, not significantly.
Yeah, no, it is noticeable. You can definitely feel a little bit of a knock when you're riding along.
But things have moved on. You know, electronic tech is very much here in bikes. It's been miniaturized. It's been, in some cases, made cheaper. Like, the brain solved a problem at that time. Do you think that the reason it's gone is because we've got tech like flight attendant now? Is it sort of end of the road there? Yeah, give me a thought.
I mean, I think it's the end of the road for brain in terms of special. And they you know, said as such, okay, the Epic World Cup still has brain in the fork, doesn't have it in the shock. But in terms of Epic 8, the longer travel one, yeah, we're not going to see the brain again, because flight attendant in the S-Works model only has definitely taken on the role of automatically, without you having to put any input in, controlling your suspension.
No spoilers, though, because we've got our interview coming up in just a moment.
It's very smart.
And how does this bike compare, practically speaking, but also from a riding perspective, as I know you've ridden it, to the Epic World Cup, which is Spesh's much shorter travel, proper, dedicated, cross-country race bike?
Yeah, they're very different bikes. Very different bikes. Although they are built to do a very similar job, if that makes sense. So the Epic World Cup, the 75mm travel at the back, 110 at the front, is very much like a short course sprint, hard and fast, like full gas effort race bike that maybe isn't designed to work particularly great on super techie tracks. I feel it's got a relatively limited scope in its usefulness. Maybe if you're riding the XC Eliminator World Cup and not bothering with the XCO, which you wouldn't be, it'd be great for that. But, you know, and maybe some of those less technical XC courses that we do see in the World Cup every now and again. The Epic...
decreasingly so.
Decreasingly so. And, you know, the new Epic has kind of been built in response to the increasingly technical nature of XC, the ability to have slightly burlier components on XC without too much of a weight penalty, and the acceptance that actually a bit of a weight penalty is okay if you get better downhill performance. And also, I guess, in response to a lot of other brands bringing out their 120mm bikes. Obviously, Scott did it a few years ago, or Bay have done it. You know, there's various 120mm XC bikes, and you kind of don't want to get left behind in that respect.
It's a funny thing, like, for me as a consumer, like, yeah, if I was wanting a cross-country bike, full suspension bike from Specialized, you are almost certainly going to buy this bike, the new Epic 8 and the Epic Evo. As you said, the Epic World Cup is so narrow in its use case, basically a soft hardtail.
Yeah.
But like, even athletes, we haven't seen them using it a huge amount.
No.
And you know, cross country is quite hard these days. I don't know. It just feels like quite an unusual bike to have in their lineup.
I think it is an unusual bike, and I don't expect Specialized expect to sell very many of them. But it does fill a niche. You know, it was raced in the World Cup last year. I think Laura Stigger did a few races on it. A few other racers did pick it for the occasional race, where previously they might have picked the Epic Hardtail. And I suspect, even maybe outside of like the glitzy world of the UCI World Cup scene, there's a lot of people racing to a high level, maybe on the continent, in the marathon scene, where
it's a good shout.
I've done like European marathons, and they're not always super techie. And actually, in that perspective, maybe it's a pretty good bike. I think it's a signifier that they are going to move away from the world of hardtails in XC. So the Epic Hardtail, which previously was available up to an S-Works version, is now not. And that Epic World Cup takes the reins of the S-Works Epic Hardtail.
Yeah, you are totally right there. I'm kind of looking at it very much through a media-first lens. Like, I'm looking at the,
I think if you really want, like, a hardtail XC race bike, I think, and this might come across in the wrong way, but if you're in the market for that, you know, an Epic Hardtail, you might not be in the market for an S-Works version anyway. You know, I think the people who are spending the S-Works money are probably serious enough about it that they might actually appreciate the way that the Epic World Cup races. Just to briefly move on from that, It's worth noting that the Epic Evo, which has obviously been launched, Epic 8 Evo, which has also now been launched, is again a step away from what the Epic Evo of old kind of was. So the current, well, the previous generation, the Epic 7 Evo, is still fairly X-y racing. It's still got, like, I think it's ground control tires. It's still got a SID fork. And it's like, I think it's 110 at the back and 120 at the foot, whatever it is. But, you know, like, we did see that being raced a lot at World Cups this year. Again, to reflect the ever-increasing technicality of XC races, and maybe their athletes didn't want to be racing the 100mm bike. The new Epic 8 Evo is a trail bike. Yeah. Like, it's got code brakes on there, SRAM code brakes. It's got, I think it's a Butcher front tire. You know, like, this is, I don't think you will ever see this lined up as a serious proposition in any race. It's a trail bike.
I think this is the bike of the range that definitely appeals to me.
Yeah, sure.
Like, even with a slightly lighter build, to be honest, I just think...
It's cool. It's a very cool bike.
You can do a lot on that bike.
I think from the lot, and you know, like, there's obviously a lot of content online that we've done from this launch. I would say of the two bikes that I rode on the launch, the Epic 8, well, the S-Works one, and the Epic Evo, the race bike, the XC version, really stood out as being like, holy shit, this is a cool bike. The Epic Evo is a cool bike, but it didn't stand out to the same extent. It's just a good short travel trail bike.
And I'm sure they'll sell buckets of them. Anyway, as we very much alluded to, like, the flight attendant tech is quite core to what's making this bike sing. And we've got a little bit more chat, more grilling to come with Tom. But right now, we're going to jump straight to our interview with Chris Mandel of SRAM to hear his thoughts and Tom's grilling from him about the new flight attendant tech.
So I've just spoken to Brian from Specialized out here in Matanzas in Chile about the new Specialized Epic, but it would be remiss to come all this way and experience flight attendant on the S-Works Epic without talking to Chris from SRAM, who obviously have provided some pretty fancy tech to this top-end Specialized race bike. So Chris, you want to introduce yourself? Tell us sort of who you are, where you've come from in a sort of blind date style-y, and then we'll talk a little bit more in depth about flight attendant.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I'm Chris Mandel. I work on PR in North America for SRAM and RockShox. And in my previous role, I was actually the rear shock product manager for RockShox. And so one of the things I did was work really closely with the ride dynamics team that specialized on tunes for all of their bikes. But I also was the product manager who helped them, helped all of us kind of bring the last iteration of the brain shock onto the bikes. So yeah.
Great. So you've had quite a bit of experience with Epic and everything that they wanted to achieve from brain and from Epic.
Yep. Yeah, totally. And I mean, you know, that was the previous version of it. So then this version is superseding the work that I did there. But I, you know, on the PR team side of things, I've been working through on flight attendant and the previous version of SID. So
yeah,
still in close coordination, just in a different role.
Great. Yeah. So I guess those listeners who have been sort of aware of what brain is and how it works, it really does feel like flight attendant is the natural progression of that. Like, as a system, it does everything that brain did, but kind of does it a little bit better. That's at least my sort of experience over the past day or two of riding. Could you just very quickly talk us through, on a broader picture, what flight attendant is?
Yeah, so flight attendant at the highest level really is trying to allow the rider to focus on the trail, focus on what they need to do if they're in a race situation, just have an experience that's going to be as close to the trail as possible, whilst also achieving the most optimum suspension states across all of those different riding scenarios, from pedaling uphill to pedaling downhill to attacking a rock garden. Historically, you know, the only way you've really been able to get at or close to optimum efficiency states is by using a remote fork and shock to change, you know, from open to lock or open pedal lock. But that requires a lot of input from the rider, just like the front derailleur used to require a lot of input from the rider. And frankly, it's a distraction. And so flight attendant is a way to automate that in a way that no rider would be able to do, you know, in terms of the number of times that they can do it. And in terms of some of the other things that we can do with flight attendant, like split state, which is where the fork would stay open and the rear shock would go to pedal or go to lock, which is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. Okay. So from like a very much a layman's point of view, when you look at the shock and the fork, which have flight attendant, there's this little There's no traditional damper adjustment on the top of the fork, for example, but there's like this little claw that hangs over the side holding the battery, and there's a few LED lights on top that flash around at you. At the shock, there's like another unit that's bolted into where the compression switch would be, and they use like a series of sensors in there to sort of control what's going on. It's like a motorized control of the compression circuit.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it is. So the fork and the shock have, they actually have like the same motor in them. Mm-hmm. And they, that drives a hydraulic needle that affects the compression state you're in. Mm-hmm. It works slightly differently in the fork and the shock, but pretty similar idea where we're moving the shock from open to a pedal position, which is just providing a bit more damping, a bit more stability, and then to a lock position, which is providing like a very firm platform that's very, very efficient. That lockout can blow off, so if you were to hit it really hard, but because of how flight attendant is able to infer the rider's intent and sense the terrain with some of the other sensors in the system, that's not something you usually mm-hmm. need. It's pretty much open. I mean, you would have experienced that in the last couple of days of riding it. So yeah, that's how that's working. We have a suite of sensors across the bike that again are looking for rider intent,
mm-hmm.
And then they're also sensing the terrain, and based on what we perceive rider intent to be, what the terrain is giving to the bike in terms of feedback, and then some of the like selections you've made in the system, mostly being bias, it makes different decisions based on what state you would like to be in.
Yeah, I think one of the things that has, maybe with this iteration, but I don't know if it was with the previous one, is that there's kind of like some learning going on. You said it looks at the previous 7 rides and sort of gains a bit more information about you and how you like to ride or how you do ride, and then it'll feed that information into making some of those decisions.
Yeah, totally. So this is new for this version of Flight Attendant, and it really actually goes a long way in helping the system infer rider intent more accurately. And so it is looking at the last 7 rides and what your efforts have been like, and it kind of averages them out over those 7 rides. And then based on that, it makes decisions and changes its behavior.
Right.
And so as I was kind of telling you, like if you're on a hard training pull and you're getting stronger and stronger over the course of those 7 rides, mm-hmm. it's going to adjust its behavior based upon that. And conversely, if you're, you know, like you've been injured and things are kind of dropping off a bit and you need like a little more comfort, mm-hmm. A little bit less efficiency state, it's going to do that.
Yeah.
Do that as well.
I think like if you've not ridden Flight Attendant, or you're maybe a little bit skeptical about the sort of the tech that goes in, you're like, do I really need it? And you know, like this is the first time I've ridden Flight Attendant, so like it's a bit of a learning experience for me. And a couple of things sort of stood out as being like little light bulbs in my head of being like, oh, right, this is kind of cool. Like the other day, yesterday we were, you know, we'd finish a ride, we were going to put the bike somewhere else, and there's like a little step down of like, you know, maybe a 2.5 foot or something down to the next level ground. I sort of had my bike in my hand and I sort of like just jumped down. And as I jumped down, the fork went, like opened it out. I'm like, hang on a minute. Like it recognizes this. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It has quite a few sensors across the entire system. And then the more components you add, the more access components, the more information it gets.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, it senses free fall and moves you to open. And I think that is one thing to kind of keep in mind with our system is our starting point is open.
Right.
And then what we're looking for is opportunities to provide you with more efficiency.
Yeah.
So like base system is looking to keep itself in open. And then as it sees the terrain being smooth and the rider putting output effort in, it will move you to a more efficient state. And I think that like really helps the rider to have a lot of confidence that like when you jump off something, like it's going to be an open, and you're going to have a good, comfortable landing.
Yeah. I mean, we've been riding in a bike park yesterday with the bikes, and you might not think that, you know, an XC launch is a natural habit, or a bike park is a natural habitat for like an XC launch, but we were sending off some like ladder drops and like little step downs and stuff. And you wouldn't know that, you know, unless I changed the bias at one point to like a +2 bias, which it makes it more eager to get into those efficient states, right? And maybe on some of the flow trials right at the top of the hill, which weren't particularly steep, and I was pedaling. It was in a pedal position, which, you know, felt different to how I sort of expected it, but you would adjust to that. But like, it was really interesting how reactive it is to like all the little details of the trail. It, you know, I'm not here to sort of like say this is the most incredible thing in the world, but I was genuinely pretty impressed with how it reacted to everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's another one of the differences between the previous version of Flight Attendant. You know, in the previous version of Flight Attendant, it had quite a few trail scenarios in it.
Yeah.
This one has orders of magnitude more trail scenarios in it. And so it's able to be a lot more responsive. I think we were in like a pretty good place with the original version of Flight Attendant. This is just way more.
Yeah. Okay. So we've mentioned a couple of times that this is a new version. When Flight Attendant launched, it was targeted at longer travel enduro bikes. You know, we saw it on, you know, Trek Slashes, that sort of thing. And, you know, bigger, burlier bikes. This time around, this next iteration has been developed more for the cross-country kind of crowd. And we see it here on the Epic. So we've talked about, you know, there's that bias, there's more sort of functionality within it to tune it properly, right? What else are we seeing? Well, is it connecting to more devices on the bike? Is it?
Yeah, so it is connecting to more devices on the bike. And it is able to like pull in information from more places than the previous version. You know, I would say like this version of Flight Attendant is actually, we're launching it in SID and SID Lux, and it's coming on this Epic. However, the firmware for this system, you know, if you have a Flight Attendant bike today,
mm-hmm.
That came with on one of those longer travel bikes, you can download the firmware for this and put it on your bike and it will work great. So in terms of this being focused on XC, it is in that it's inside of a SID.
Right.
And SID Lux chassis. But the work that we've done inside the firmware and the software actually isn't terribly specific to cross country. Okay. The SID Lux, though, was a pretty big project on this Super Deluxe, which is where we had it previously. You know, we have a bolt-on reservoir there. So like we literally just unbolted that reservoir and bolted the Flight Attendant reservoir on. With this one, we did have to do some development work on the SID Lux to bolt a motor module onto that. The shock itself is actually the hydraulics side is our standard SID Lux shock. It's it has a motor mounted to it with the battery and all that. So yeah.
Okay. And we've talked a little bit about, you know, obviously Flight Attendant, but the SID Lux shock that is on the Epic, it does have, and we mentioned actually when I was chatting to Brian that it has its own specific tune, which is kind of cool in that middle mode.
Yep. Yeah. So the SID Lux has a tune that is specific for the Epic. And that what's nice is like the Flight Attendant tune in that pedal mode matches the rest of Specialized's SID Lux cable lockout tunes. Yeah. And then the fork also has a specific tune. And that tune was something we worked with Specialized on. It was designed to provide a bit more low speed support than our stock tune. And then blow off a little bit harder. So it did actually require different parts in there.
Okay.
It's a spring with, or it's a shim with it that's backed by a spring. So it tends to hold a little bit longer, producing that little bit more low speed force. And then once the spring starts moving, it gets out of the way and is able to dump considerably more oil. And that feel for them was really important because it's a lot of what they have had with the brain previously, you know, the brain in terms of like what a damping curve would look like, because that used an inertia valve created a very similar kind of a like stable low speed platform that once it started moving and blew off was really open and allowed the bike to move into its travel.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing I've sort of real noticed on the Epic World Cup initially, when you hit all the way through the travel, you don't really feel that you've gone through the travel. You've got this new jounce bumper, I think you called it, right? And that's in this SID Lux. And is it in the SID as well?
Yeah, so it is. So we've, jounce bumpers are like pretty common. And the SID fork has had one actually for a really long time.
Okay, maybe it's just a term it's a fun word.
It's a fun word, it's a bottom-out bumper, yeah. But it is, I would say the level of sophistication with these bottom-out bumpers has gone up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. The SID Lux bottom-out bumper, which you would have seen in the Epic World Cup as well. It's a very similar, it's not exactly the same design, but it's a very similar design. Yeah. Where we have a a bottom out bumper that's got like kind of lips. It does look like kissing lips on the leading edge of it. And those kissing lips are nice because that means that you're kind of touching down on a little point. So you don't, it's not a big force change. You kind of don't notice when you start touching the bottom out bumper. And then it's a, you know, it's an oval round shaped bottom out bumper. And then as you compress it, it starts to build force and then it's contained within a cup. And so like a normal bottom out bumper, when you would smack it against a seal head, it will flatten out.
Right.
Because it has the space to flatten out. But this one, because it's contained inside of a cup, it can't go anywhere. And so you start building a much steeper ramp up force with that because the jounce bumper basically can't squirm out of the way.
Right. Okay.
So it's a really cool design. And it really allows us to shape that curve because you can imagine pretty easily, like if we tighten up that cup, then the curve gets steeper, and if we open that cup up, then the curve will get shallower and we won't quite have as much much ramp up. So it's a pretty cool one for us to be able to play with. And we introduced it with the Epic World Cup, but it is something that's found in the Sid Lux Shocks.
Yeah, great. And I think maybe my last question is probably one that I'm guessing you're probably not going to give me too much of an answer on, but I think probably our listeners would love to know how far and how broad is Flight Attendant going to get? Like, it's on enduro bikes, it's on XC bikes now. Will it go to like mid-travel bikes, and will it come down to bikes that aren't super high-end?
Yeah, I think mid-travel bikes for sure. You know, we currently have a Pike and Lyric versions that we offer with this. And I think, you know, Flight Attendant has a huge range of applications because like we are all out there trying to like race our buddies, race ourselves, or even just like finish a ride in a certain amount of time. You know, like very often you hear like, oh, the e-bike allows me to finish this ride in less time. We know from our internal testing that Flight Attendant improves your performance by a pretty significant amount. So like if you have Flight Attendant on your bike, you can finish that ride faster, having expelled less energy. And maybe be able to go a little bit further if you wanted to. So in that sense, like we really think Flight Attendant has a huge application for riders of all sorts. You know, the longer you ride, the more it's going to, more efficiency gains you're going to get at from it. And then, you know, to touch on your other point, like currently, yes, this is like very expensive kit and it's at the cutting edge of the bike industry at this point. Like this is the first time we've seen in the bike industry an algorithm that learns rider's intent by looking at like in the moment and a historical snapshot of like what that rider is putting into the bike. It changes its behavior based on that, which is pretty cool. But you know, we're always working on stuff and we're always trying to push technology down so that more riders can have access to higher performing products. I think we have like a very good long track record of that. Like first introduced through axles, they weren't on any of the lower end product, and now you'd be hard pressed to find a quick release. So yeah, that's never far out from our minds.
Great. Okay, well, thanks so much, Chris, for your time. I really appreciate it. And yeah, if you want to find out more about Flight Attendant and also the new Epic and Epic Evo, head to bikeradar.com.
Thank you so much for the time, and I hope everyone gets out and has a good ride today.
Thanks so much.
Now, Tom, those are Chris's thoughts. I've got a handful of questions for you on this one. The first thing I want to ask: are we going to see any other bikes in the short term with the new all-singing, dancing version of Flight Attendant?
From Specialized?
From anyone.
I believe Flight Attendant will be launching across 4 brands. I don't know exactly which ones they are. We have seen, you know, Schurter racing it. Whether or not it'll make it onto Scott's, I don't know. I'm sure, like, when there's full, you know, over the coming days, we will see a few bikes coming out with Flight Attendant XC. But as yet, I don't actually know what they are. The updates to Flight Attendant are going to be a firmware update to current Flight Attendant owners, which is kind of cool. But yeah, no, it's going to be a firmware update. There are some updates to it, you know, especially around sort of the learning processes. So it will learn from your previous 7 rides. And from that, it will adapt how it responds to pedal and bump impacts.
We live in the future, man. This is bonkers.
Yeah, one thing I did notice, actually, I spoke to SRAM today about flight attendant, and I did ask him, what happens about, you know, just now I rode from a car park to the workshop, you know, and it was 2 or 3 minutes of pedaling. Like, surely that's going to mess up my ride data. It's going to learn from that I only ride on tarmac very gently. And he did say that actually it's a bit smarter than me. It will only take into rides, it rides into account that it sort of deems proper rides. So even if you're just like messing around in the car, pulling wheelies and, you know, just dicking about a little bit, it's going to exclude those rides from a learning point of view, which is pretty cool, pretty smart.
I bet the algorithm for that is quite complicated. You know, you could be like, oh, it rides under 5 minutes that don't have this many bounces. But like, how do you even reach?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I just need to do the the reporting and not the thinking. Did you think it was any good?
I do think flight attendant is good. I've ridden it a little bit myself. I rode it on the launch. I've had the bike in the UK a little bit, not ridden as much as I'd like to have done. And I've spoken to quite a few people. As with a lot of these bits of tech, like, opinions are split a little bit. You know, I think everyone who's ridden it has said, yes, it works. Like, you're riding along and it does buzz at you and you shock, you know, the shock and the fork, they lock out and they unlock themselves and they go into the trail mode. They do it very quickly and I'd say 99.9% of the time, they do kind of exactly what you want them to do when you want them. And given the tunability of the flight attendant system through the app, if it's not doing quite what you want it to do, you can probably tune it to make it do what you want it to do.
Would you ever buy, like, yeah.
Would I ever buy it?
I was going to say, because you know, you alluded to the fact you like tech that makes your cycling life simpler. Yeah. In theory, you know, let's just ignore the fact it's electronic, because that's kind of not the point. But does that genuinely make your cycling simpler compared to a fully mechanical system?
I think if, you know, I spoke to Specialized quite a bit about both the Epic 8 and a lot of the components that they put on their bikes at the moment. You know, there's a lot of brands do these all-in-one stem and bars, and I don't like them, you know, and there's, you know, questions over, you know, all sorts of like components and decisions they make. The Epic 8 is a race-focused bike, and it's built for people who take racing seriously. If I took racing super seriously, yes, I do. I genuinely think this was probably, in many respects, this is the easiest bike to ride that I've ever come across.
Mm.
You've got flight attendant, which controls your suspension. Instead of you having to, like, I know it sounds innocuous, push a lever.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we've all been riding bike, well, not all, you know, but we've been lucky enough to ride bikes with both electronic shifting and mechanical shifting. And I think we all appreciate how easy it is to shift a gear with electronic. It makes a difference. On long, hard rides, when you're absolutely gassed, being able to just press a button which has a consistent feel, feels great. It's the same with, like, not having to twist a twist lock or push, like, a little squid lock, whatever it is. The fact that it does it for you, does a thinking for you, means you don't have to think about it. It's marginal gains, of course, but when you're spending 12-13k on a bike, I'll take all those marginal gains. And when you are like full gas effort, you know, tasting blood, I don't want to think about, am I going to press that button or pull that lever or whatever it might be. So if you add, you know, the flight attendant along with like the transmission stuff, along with a bike that generally has great geometry for XC, good components, I generally can't think of a bike that is, in inverted commas, easier to ride. I'm not saying it's easier to look after, maintain, or work on necessarily, because, you know, there is some learning to be done with flight attendant. You need an app and X, Y, Z. But purely from a riding point of view, it's so easy to get the most out of you from that bike.
Wow. Heady words, Tom. Nice way to conclude that. Well, I look forward to you revisiting your racing career aboard a £13,000 whatever.
Depends how long I can keep hold of that bike. Because I certainly need to train before I enter any more races.
So we've got on the site, of course, your first ride review of the new Epic.
Yeah.
And we've got a news story. Anything else?
So, right, we'll have a review of the Epic 8.
Go on, teaser.
Oh, okay. I'll go into everything all the Epic and flight attendant content you can expect from Bike Radar today.
Yeah, because of course it's going to be in the podcast description.
Yeah, so we've got a video going on our YouTube channel about the Epic 8. We will have a video going up about flight attendant, hosted by our good colleague Tom Law. We will have a news story about flight attendant. We will have a news story about Epic 8 and Epic Evo, which I think we'll have some ride impressions of the Epic Evo, because I only rode it for a day, and we will have a review of the Epic 8.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Plus this podcast. Tom, I might describe that as a multimedia bonanza.
I think we've... Oh, there might even be reels as well.
Good grief.
We are in 2024.
Wonderful stuff. Well, thank you for your efforts. Thank you very much to our contacts at Specialized and SRAM for chatting to us on the podcast. And thank you very much for listening. It was a pleasure to chat to you, Tom. And, you know, I hope you kind of kick up your XE racing career again. I think this has inspired me to bully you into doing so.
We'll see. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we do have four potential Olympic/World Cup race XE race bikes in a test coming up in April, May. So there'll be four very fast bikes coming into the office.
Wonderful stuff. Tom, speak again soon, and thank you again for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Bike Radar podcast. If you've not done so already, please subscribe and share with your friends, or leave us a rating if you've enjoyed this episode.